Welcome to Manager Tools. This week, how to lay off a direct, part one. The questions this cast answers are, what do I do when laying off an employee? How do I prepare for a layoff? And what should I say when laying someone off? Answers to these questions and more coming up. Hey folks, if you're wanting to hear from us more about the Trinity, that is, you want to know about one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, delegation, and you maybe can't visit us for an in-person conference. Maybe you've tried, but the virtual dates that we're hosting don't really work out well for you. We also have an option that is the Effective Manager video course. The Effective Manager video course is your purchase of a 2-year license, inclusive of 7 hours worth of video broken down into 71 little bite-sized pieces. There's written material, there's the ability to practice, and you can do, because you've got it for 2 years, you can possibly go through that video multiple times over the course of 2 years, further solidifying your knowledge. Check it out online on our website at manager-tools.com/products. Kate, it's a sad, sad world we live in. I mean, I know that sounds really awful. That seems really dramatic. But sadly, layoffs continue to be an employee management tool in many organizations. And today, to make things worse than I think we've seen in the past, many of the methods and processes that are being used in the event of layoffs have become so callous that our guidance from folks 17 years ago, we've been doing this a while, our guidance bears repeating, but also updating with some more detail.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's worse than it's been. It's certainly in the news enough right now, and it's bigger companies are doing this callously, and therefore I think it's leading other people to believe that because a company's bigger, it's in a space, it allows for that. Mm-hmm. Oh, if so-and-so is doing it, then that's how you do it. And no.
Well, and we just have so much more availability to communication mediums that we didn't always have. Right now there's virtual, sure. And there's more predominance of telephone and Slack and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, we can speak to people all over the world at the drop of a hat. And these things make for conveniences that sometimes go a little too far.
Yeah. It's, again, efficiency versus effectiveness. And we're not going to try to do layoffs with a focus on efficiency.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's that. Okay. This is a lot to cover, y'all. So it's going to be a series, and we're going to cover why layoffs in 2023 and beyond. That's where we are. Prepare for a steel cage death match meeting. It's okay to acknowledge rumors and set an example of confidentiality. Mm-hmm. Communicate about career wellness. Know the details. Make sure to follow a pre-written script. If you're asked, answer immediately. Follow up with those laid off. Close the loop with remaining directs and do a hot wash. So that's our outline for this series.
Yes.
And this is going to take us a few Mondays.
Yeah, a few Mondays.
So we start with why layoffs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just a simple reminder, Manager Tools' position on why layoffs happen. And while this is simple logic, it's worth noting, no one else seems willing to admit it. Mm-hmm. It's a thing. I find this is true a lot about people's lack of willingness to be honest about anything that involves finances in general.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Layoffs occur when corporate leadership fails to accurately predict their future successes and revenues. Management failure is then visited upon employees losing their jobs.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah, layoffs represent a classic example of what is known as moral hazard. And moral hazard being an economic term describing a scenario in a transaction where one party can indulge in risky behavior because they know that the terms of the agreement will require the other party to assume negative consequences, mm-hmm. which is a bit like spending all the money in your household, knowing your spouse is the person who's going to not get to buy things.
Exactly, right? That's a good analogy. I mean, it's simple, but it's a good analogy. Folks, what Kate is saying in its most simple of terms is executives take risks and laid off employees pay the price for it. Mm-hmm. Basically, at its very, very most simple, most granular.
We should start out by saying one of the risks that we believe is often taken is that companies do not have the financial reserves to care for themselves, essentially, the company, the organization, during times of downturn. Mm-hmm. And so executives are taking risk, sure.
Yes.
That may be acceptable if there's enough cash on hand, reserves on hand, ability to pay the bills while we go through these risky times. So we're not stating that every executive decision is a risk in this category. We're saying if your company, your organization doesn't have enough funds to see itself through these decisions you make, which might not pan out, then laid off employees pay the price for those risky decisions.
That's exactly it.
We need only think of Facebook, Meta, recently. This is just recent. In fact, in the last, 90 days, I think, laying off 10,000 workers and a week later announcing a $40 billion stock buyback.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, it's just tone deaf. To do it mere days later is just, it's absolutely unacceptable.
100%.
Yeah.
And that we would, like we said, moral hazard, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to say it. I would suggest it's immoral.
Yeah, I agree. And we've gotten
unethical, certainly.
Because we've been talking about this in Things We Think We Think. If you don't get Things We Think, folks, become a licensee and you can get it. But we've been talking about it in Things We Think We Think. And we have fielded multiple emails from multiple people saying, wait a minute, I'm not Meta, essentially. I'm not Facebook. I was told I had to do it and there was no choice. Folks, we use that example because it's egregious, an example. But that's not to say that there aren't good companies that are run ethically who make mistakes as well. I mean, it's not just the big fish who are sloppy about it that are causing this harm to employees. Predicting the future, it's not easy. It's devilishly hard. I mean, if you're responsible for predicting the future and you can do that 10% of the time, yo, you're winning. Companies have a moral obligation to serve their society. That's the reason companies exist, to serve our society. Serving more people ethically and effectively is actually a reasonable goal for companies. However, that desire to serve society, to serve more people, to take care of others, that desire to serve creates more demands for growth. And growth sometimes means overshooting, overplanning, thinking you have a longer runway than you've got in terms of what the organization can actually reasonably do, and then ultimately find out that they're in a layoff situation.
Right. Overshooting and then underplanning and then overshooting your run. Yeah. And then the company finds itself in a situation where layoffs are a part of the plan to fix it.
Yeah.
And of course, the solution, and this is part of what we're talking about reserves, the solution is to commit to only growing ethically, which, y'all, this might mean growing more slowly than your competitors.
Yeah.
And that means a risk to stock prices for public companies, certainly.
Yeah, absolutely.
It used to be true that private companies didn't have nearly as many layoffs as public companies, and certainly as a function of the fact that they had fewer people to essentially be beholden to in terms of they didn't have stocks out there that were public. But that's really no longer true because of private funding for startups. We've blurred that line. And these startups have this desire to grow incredibly fast, particularly in the technology sector. And of course, Facebook comes less to mind in this discussion, particularly this particular discussion around funding and stuff, because it's been a while. But Uber, for example, we have these huge influxes of cash and all of these unicorn billion-dollar valuations prior to IPOs. It's out there. It's happening. We're hearing about it. The desire to grow incredibly fast. And of course, I'm thinking of now, it makes me think of WeWork and the whole like move fast thing and the whole move fast, break things culture that got adopted for a while. This desire should be counterbalanced by the responsibility that organizations have to their employees. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's a larger discussion here about mission versus serving your society versus employing people and how part of your responsibility to society may include employing people ethically. And employees versus leadership, okay. There's inevitably an erosion of the responsibilities here. And if we want to be an ethical organization, then we have to think of these things, bear these things in mind, and not drive so hard towards growth without funding or reserves to offset it that we are punishing the people whom we hired to help us create this success.
Yeah, that reminds me a lot of, I mean, I know a lot of people in the venture capital kind of space. I've got a friend who started some startups. And one of the things that I've heard a lot from those individuals is in individuals, let me be clear, who listen to Manager Tools. In fact, one of them is speaking at the M conference this year and now works for a venture capital firm. And there's that, I want to say, big risk, big reward mentality. Startups in many cases are being told by their investors that they will lose their funding if they don't grow big and grow fast. You have to hire 30 people this month. And there's not the knowledge of stay small and do it right. There's the, we're going to give you all this money. You have to grow fast, but guess who's not going to be there when the market shrinks and now you have 30 extra mouths to feed? Your investor. Mm-hmm. And it becomes hard for organizations to do the right thing by their employees because many people in these kind of spaces don't have that knowledge. To Kate's point, there's that erosion of what we as leaders are meant to do for our organization and the people within it. And something we want to try and help, if we can, remedy.
Absolutely. And this isn't true everywhere. You know, this is just part of what's we're hearing a lot about. And it still bears repeating, it still bears mentioning that if you're starting an organization and you're creating a market, often the idea lately is, oh, someone will just give you a huge influx of funds. And that idea of, oh, we're going to create the market poses a problem because if the market is being created, maybe it works out. Maybe it doesn't. And maybe what you expected the market to be is, I mean, I think I'm thinking of like those Lime scooters that are all over in Austin, those little scooters.
Yeah.
And for a while there was a lot of scooters and everybody was on them and they created that market essentially. And now it has shrunk. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I know people got laid off. So there's that. Mm-hmm. I lived in Phoenix for a long time, y'all. And there were 2 months out of the year where you could sit outside reliably. And those months were March and November. And if you're interested at all in great weather in Phoenix and learning about effective management and effective communication, we'd love to host you in Phoenix March 14th and 15th for an EMC on the 14th and an ECC on the 15th. Amanda will be out there in Phoenix, and we'd love to have you out. You can register online, manager-tools.com/training. There's no reason right now in 2023 for us to think, oh, in the future, layoffs will become less likely.
No.
In fact,
no data to support that.
We believe the opposite.
Yes.
Some commentators are suggesting, hey, there ought to be governmental regulations regarding layoffs. And sure, there already are some in the form of notifications. And external intervention is really, truly not the answer. The answer lies in ethical leadership, growing more slowly, developing methods to grow without risk to employees. Cash is a solution.
Something Kate mentioned earlier, having a lot of cash on hand so you can pay the bills when the market drops out the bottom.
Yeah. Hoard your money.
A method. Hoard your money.
Mm-hmm. Right. Even then, companies with too much cash are sometimes penalized mm-hmm. in the markets. Stockholders then want returns for failing to employ that cash in the pursuit of, oh, hey, growth.
Yeah. Hey, growth. Remember that thing that's always causing us to hire more people than we're going to need tomorrow? That thing. Mm-hmm. And to Kate's point, we have no reason to believe that layoffs are going to go away. And unfortunately, we have every reason to believe, because we've seen it, modern layoffs have gotten even worse. That is, in terms of modern layoffs, there's no longer a relationship between leader and employee the way there once was. That relationship is frayed in a way. If you'll remember back to, I'm sure you've heard us say this before, but organizations used to be the people responsible for the growth and development, and then in turn, future career development of the people on their staff. And that's no longer the case. Modern mm-hmm. workplaces have made it such that people are responsible for their own careers. And that employee-leader relationship isn't as strong as it once was.
Think of all the remote workers who have never met their manager face-to-face.
Exactly. That's absolutely it. And,
it's a
and
physical example.
Right.
Right. They may never.
Yeah.
Although, please do, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So what we're seeing right now, the reason we know there's a predominance of this fraying is that layoffs in tech specifically, but layoffs in 2022 and early 2023 introduced mass layoffs by email. In fact, it got so bad as to the point where some employees discovered that they were laid off when they couldn't log into their systems in the morning, or they couldn't access their office because their key cards no longer worked, or they tried to sit down at their desk and their systems were completely revoked, and that's how they accidentally found out that they were laid off. And the fact that people might accidentally find out because they tried to log into a system and could no longer get to it, if that's how they find out they're laid off, we are doing this wrong.
Yeah, that's unconscionable.
This is being done wrong.
People
are people. They're not robots.
Yeah. Layoff by email is a particularly vulgar example mm-hmm. of this. We are afraid that, and we suspect that you will see more of this in the future. Mm-hmm. It, for some reason, you know, again, people are taking the easy road. And actually, interesting, recently, a Harvard Business School professor argued in favor of email layoffs because companies are now far flung and there's no, you know, that it apparently gives us more responsibility to communicate quickly.
Because speed matters.
Sure.
In a layoff.
Yeah. And of course, that's false. And it's only highlighting more clearly that even experts believe that employees are expendable.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder people are afraid. No wonder people feel that their organizations don't care about them. Organizations who lay people off via email are demonstrating that they do not care about their employees.
That's absolutely true.
So there's evidence out there that
there's evidence.
These mm-hmm. organizations don't care
people
about their
are
employees.
Expendable.
Mm-hmm.
People are expendable. And that's sad.
That's what that says.
Absolutely. Listen, guys, the solution to layoff communications is really quite simple. And it completely destroys the argument of size and speed justifying some sort of cold, crass, electronic termination message that's meant to deliver the message in the most cold way possible. No organization is too big to conduct a layoff ethically. Because every single employee, no matter where they are, is only a phone call or a Zoom call or one short meeting away from their company's representative of the firm to them, their manager.
Mm-hmm.
It only needs to be done quickly if the HR department is doing it and they have 300 to do. Now it becomes problematic. Now it means somebody might not find out about the layoff for weeks because they have to make all these calls. But in terms of our doing it more quickly, if managers did it, then we could get to the root quite quickly
mm-hmm.
with a quick phone call or a quick Zoom. because the manager
and we're not suggesting that the conversation is necessarily quick. We're suggesting somebody could be gotten hold of quickly.
Exactly. Yes.
You just reach out right now.
Just reach out.
You know. And so we're going to describe in detail how an ethical, effective manager goes about preparing for a layoff the right way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The first piece of which is, you guys are going to remember this. Some of you are going to remember this. If you don't, then you're going to want to go back and listen. The first piece is preparing for a steel cage death match meeting.
Gotta love that title. I know. Steel cage death match.
Which we owe to our friend Dan McGuire. Hey, Dan. So if you're new to the Manager Tools fold, you may not yet have listened to our podcast called The Steel Cage Deathmatch Meeting. It was released in 2011, and we recommend you go back. Steel Cage Deathmatch Meetings are meetings of managers where decisions are made about promotions and layoffs. Now, obviously, given the content of this current podcast, we're going to focus here on the layoff version of that meeting. And we're going to walk a little bit through how those steel cage deathmatch meetings, how we as managers can better prepare for those meetings in advance to ensure that we do right by our people, essentially. Because layoffs don't just happen out of the blue. Typically, there's a meeting in advance, and we want you to be ready for that meeting should it occur for you.
Right. In the layoff steel cage deathmatch, most managers think they'll become aware of the meeting or the need for it beforehand. And that makes sense. Logical. Mm-hmm. That's not what we've discovered happens. We respect that you think, of course I'll know. I'll have a sense. It'll be in there. Truly, though, we can share from our experience, most managers are caught unaware. They genuinely, people seem to think they'll know about it, but you don't.
Remember, speed. Organizations want speed in it. So it could pop up on you. This call could be something you're not thinking about yet at all.
Yeah. And okay, you could also be the other manager. You could be the super connected, in touch, you know, paying attention person. But it will haunt you for the rest of your career if you go into your first one of these unprepared and one of your directs is lost because you didn't do some preparation.
Mm-hmm.
And steel cage deathmatch is all about preparation.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot win the marginal victories of protecting your most valued employees without knowing in advance what you're going to say, who you're going to rely on, and whom you're potentially going to trade votes with.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And folks, this is a big regret of young managers. And again, because this is so much in the media and we're talking so much about layoffs now, given the current economic climate, we've gotten emails. I think we recently shared one in Things We Think We Think. A manager who wasn't prepared for the steel cage deathmatch meeting, lost someone, knew they could have done right by that person, but didn't know better, did poorly in a meeting, lost that person, and still here we are 20 years later in their career and they're regretting it. It's a huge regret to do poorly for many managers in these types of meetings. They walk in, they're prepared to just, you know, generally talk about their team, and they get completely steamrolled, not realizing that what they've walked into is a bunch of more senior managers that have been through the steel cage deathmatch meeting before, who walk away having won the day, and they have lost.
Which makes sense, because if you've been in this before, you know what the rules are, and so just your general experience lends you this ability to behave in ways that would overwhelm a person who isn't ready, who doesn't know what this meeting's about, who thinks maybe this meeting is the pre-discussion before the event where we decide who stays and who goes. And we've been talking a lot recently about individual managers, sometimes inherent, sometimes normal, sometimes almost naive assumptions that there are things that you're not really responsible for that get decided at a different level. And so you're just kind of executing on those things. Mm-hmm. When instead, what we're trying to do, especially lately, y'all, is kind of help you understand that you're actually an agent of the organization. And there are things that are getting decided above your head. There are also things that you have a great deal of power to decide, autonomy to decide. You have a lot of ownership that you can simply claim because no one is in the space yeah. making those decisions. And this meeting is a really good example of that. You may think this one meeting yeah. is just, we're going to have a discussion and you think you're going to find out what's going on. And then you'll get to be in the who stays, who goes talks. No, they're going to sneak this up on you in a lot of cases. And maybe they're not even going to sneak it up on you. Maybe you just didn't know this was going to happen.
Yeah.
Just be aware that this meeting could be the place where they decide if your directs stay or go. You got to be aware of that. Because there's also a phenomenon here similar to the one we've talked about in our pre-wire guidance. Mm-hmm. Managers go into the meeting, they watch a fellow manager just nail this presentation, getting everything they want. And people then think it's because, oh, this person had a wonderful presentation.
Yeah. No.
No. It's because of the work that happened beforehand mm-hmm. by making sure everyone's on board in advance and you have the right votes and you have, you know, some people need to know sooner and mm-hmm. all of these things.
Exactly.
So again, preparation wins the day here, and don't get caught off guard.
Exactly. That's all for this week, folks. Join us again next week for part two of the series. Thank you.